I tell you, I have already been uplifted. I had a message come in just before I came up here that said, Johnny has said it all. Johnny, those were awesome words. I certainly then stand up here, and Danny, your voice is so powerful. And I appreciate your leading of our singing. But as we stand up, I can look and I can see these pews getting more and more. And I know that we still have folks being tuning in, and I suppose we will always have folks tuning in. But I know I was talking with someone this morning who've already had the vaccine, and you know, I certainly keep hoping and praying we're going to continue this trend. More and more will get their confidence back. Maybe, you know, you're unfortunately like me and the vaccine is in your body, I guess, still because you had it. But at the same time, we gain our confidence. We take care and we get back together. And it's just been a special morning for me. And I just want you to know I love you. And I appreciate you. You know, as Travis came, and Travis, I appreciate your prayer and appreciate you reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. There Peter reminds us that God, in verse 4, He resists the proud. So therefore we need to humble ourselves. And God will exalt us. He will lift us up. But as we talk about elevate, as you can see behind me, to the sides of me now, as we continue to elevate our focus, our desire, our hearts, our all on Jesus Christ, this whole month we're talking about the importance of Jesus, raising the bar, elevating Jesus, because He deserves it. Remember, we talked about exalting Him week one. We talked about extending Him, expanding Him, right? We need to make sure that we are growing Him inside of our lives, inside of our families, inside of those we come in contact with. And those are, in general, very positive. And today will not be a negative sermon per se, but I can't not just talk about this. There's a great danger in excluding Jesus. There's a great danger in leaving Jesus out. And I am concerned that during a time of a pandemic, during a time of the information overload that we have, during a time of social media and turmoil, and our country being at odds with different groups and different people, I'm concerned that Jesus sometimes gets put on the back burner. And I'm not just talking about with the world, folks. We know the world has excluded Jesus. We know that those who are lost and outside of Christ have put Jesus out or do not even consider Him to begin with. What I really want to focus on today is those of us in the church. Have we excluded Jesus this last year, these last months, in the last few weeks? Because there's a real danger in that. You know, I don't like social media a lot, but there are a lot of great things. In fact, I came real close again this week to just saying I'm done with Facebook, but then I think, well, I can't do that because we have our worship going out through my Facebook page right now. But something had happened, and someone that I love and care for had done something, and I don't know, I just had enough of it. But then I think about there are some good things, right? Like worship going out. But then sometimes you get a timeline picture, and it's of your children, right? It's of your grandchildren. It's of whoever it may be. and you might be 5 years old, and it says, hey, here's your timeline that happened 5 years ago. And you know what you always say is, wow, look how they have grown. I mean, never do we say, well, our children, our grandchildren, they're still the same as they were 5 years ago. No, they've grown. They've changed. Sometimes I wonder, does God say that about us? You know, Terry, in 2020 to 2021, you've grown. I hope that's what he says. But does he say sometimes, well, Terry, or fill in your name, you look the same spiritually? You see, if that be the case, you know what I've done during that time period? I've left Jesus out. I haven't elevated him in my life. I've excluded him. In Matthew chapter 14, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I've used this a lot of times in sermons, I'm going to use it again today. Peter walks on water. Begins in verse 26. And when the disciples saw him, that's Jesus, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, he didn't hesitate, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command to me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? When the storms come up, how are we going to act? You see, Peter there, he got out of the boat. And I think sometimes we've beaten Peter up for years about him taking his eyes off Jesus. And again, I get that, and I've probably done that. I'm sure I have. But Peter got out of the boat where Jesus was, and he walked on the water, but the wind became boisterous, the winds picked up, the waves picked up, and he got frightened, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and he excluded him. It was just a moment of time, right? It was just a fleeting moment. It was just that quick. He was including him. He was elevating him. He was walking to him, but by distraction, for a brief moment in time, he excluded him. And what happened? He sank. So when the storms of life come up for us, what do we do? Do we elevate Him or do we exclude Him? Do we exalt Him or do we leave Him out? You see, in that moment of time when storms like, oh, my job, it's been tough on a lot of people the last year, almost full year now, right, coming up. It's been tough on a lot of people and some have lost their jobs. You know what that is? That's a storm. It's during that time that a lot of people will exclude God, will exclude Jesus. Why did you do this to me? I'm mad at you. But it's in that time when we need to elevate Him the most. What about money problems or sickness? There's been a lot of sickness. Folks are facing death. Loved ones are dying. There's problem after problem after problem. And what happens when those problems arise? People take their eyes off the one who can get them through it. I want to remind you of this fact. When Peter got out of the boat and he stood on water as solid ground. Think about that for a moment. Water in Jesus' presence can become solid. And it wasn't frozen over. But when he stood on that water and it was solid ground, you know what his biggest struggle was at that moment? It was not he hadn't caught enough fish that day. It was not his mother-in-law was sick. It was not all the things that we know about Peter. His biggest struggle that day, his biggest fear that day, was that that solid ground under him was going to become liquid again. Peter's biggest problem was the storm. It was the water. But guess what Jesus was doing? He was standing on top of Peter's biggest fears. Jesus was standing on top of the scariest thing Peter could experience that day. Jesus was standing on top of it, victorious. And guess what He's doing for us? Whatever storm you're going through right now, Jesus is standing on top of it. And instead of excluding Him, we better be exalting Him. There's Christians out there that we all know. And I'm not asking you to judge them. I'm asking you to think about them. We know Christians that are out there that were on fire. They were on top of the water. They were on top of their problems. They were here when the doors were open and all of a sudden they sunk. Why? You know what the common denominator in it all is? Excluding Jesus. You show me somebody that's got a life full of problems and can't get through them and has a bad attitude and it's crippled them and it's negative in their lives and things are going downhill, I'll show you somebody that has left Jesus out. Do we know people like that? More personally, are we one of those people? You see, Peter sunk because he left Jesus out. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14 together. The Hebrew writer writes this, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, a lot of times this passage is used on church growth. I think leaving, or really individual growth is where it starts. I think that leaving Jesus out, you can't grow. I think if you grow, you're exalting Jesus. I think these go hand in hand. And so today, from this passage right here, we're going to talk about some dangers. Some real dangers of excluding or leaving Jesus out. The first thing I want you to think about in all of this, though, is this. Those babies, and we have babies here today, and I'm so thankful we have babies here. Those babies that are here today that are drinking milk. You watch them, right? You've heard me say this before. They get their bottle when they can hold it. You know, their hands are a little bit all crazy because they're trying to get all their muscles and everything going, and finally they hold it, and we're all excited, you know, we're documenting, we're calling, they holding their bottle for the first, you know, and it's great. But it's so funny to watch them when they're hungry and their feet are kicking and they're so excited, they get those bottles, and what do? Their eyes cross. Why? Because it is the most important thing in their lives at that moment. They don't care about you. They don't care about the dog. They don't care about whatever. They care about that bottle they're holding. They're about to get in their mouth. They're cross-eyed. We need to be cross-eyed. But it needs to be about Jesus Christ. This passage, though, reminds us, if we're going to be cross-eyed, and focused on Jesus, we can't stay on the milk. That's what elevating Jesus Christ is all about. So today, I want to go through this passage. The Hebrew writer wrote the sermon today, not me. And here's what he says. You want to talk about some dangers of excluding Jesus? Here's number one. You will become dull of hearing, according to the New King James. And I use that because they all start with D. It just works out that way. Verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You know who he's speaking about here? He's speaking about Melchizedek. And if you don't know much about Melchizedek, neither did the Hebrews that the Hebrew writer Paul or whoever he was writing to, okay? But I don't want to focus necessarily on Melchizedek. I want to focus on that phrase, dull of hearing. The Greek word for dull is nothros. Nothros. Which means slow or sluggish. The Greek word for hearing is acheia. Acheia. Which means hearing what's preached. So you got slow or sluggish. That's nothros. That's dull. You've got acheia, which is hearing, what's preached. So if you put it all together, he's saying, if you are excluding Jesus Christ, you are slow or sluggish to hear what was preached. In layman's terms, you are one hard-headed joker. That's Terry's terms, maybe. Okay? Do you know someone that's just hard-headed? Do you know someone that just won't listen? And I'm not talking about husbands and wives, okay? That wives, we get mad because the husbands won't listen or whatever. I'm talking about spiritually. And again, now, don't think of somebody outside of Jesus. They've excluded Jesus all along. I'm talking about somebody in the church that we knew, that we loved, that now they just won't hear it. You know why? Because they have become nothros acheia. Slow or sluggish to hear that which was preached. Because Jesus doesn't mean anything to them. You know, a couple weeks ago, my daughter, who's helping prepare, she's listening to the sermon with Miss Tina in the back. She's helping prepare that food for today, and I appreciate Miss Tina and her and their serving. But a couple weeks ago, she was baptized into Christ. We took communion later that day, but you know what she kept saying every day when she got up? She'd say, Daddy, I'm baptized today. I've been baptized. And then Sunday got a little closer. She said, I can't wait because I get to take communion with everyone. You know why? Because Jesus is everything to her. Where's that hunger in us? Is He everything to us? Do we get up every day and say, thank you, Jesus Christ, because I'm washed in your blood? I can't wait to get back together, and I hope Johnny McDonald's doing it. No offense to anybody else, because he's so good. But to take communion and remember Jesus. Have we lost that? Have we become dull of hearing? Have we excluded Jesus Christ? When we leave Christ out, we're not where we need to be spiritually. When we leave Christ out, we're not where we need to be spiritually. We get into danger of not hearing what's preached or taught by God. We expect then the church to be perfect. Let me tell you, if you're watching at home or you're here today, we are not perfect. You don't have perfect elders. You don't have perfect ministers. You don't have perfect deacons, Sunday school teachers. No one here past the age of accountability is perfect. So stop expecting the church to be perfect. When I've become dull of hearing, I expect the church to revolve around me. You know, because I don't really care. It's become a social club to me now. And they're going to take care of me. And they're going to do, you know why? Because I gave a few dollars to that place last year.
You know, that preacher, I gave a few dollars and he works for me.
I got news for you, I don't. I work for God. But we expect the church to revolve around us when I become dull of hearing. We expect others to read our minds. And let me tell you, sometimes you got to remind this mind a few times. Okay? When I become dull of hearing and I exclude Jesus, I don't think some things are important. Things like Bible class, worship, service, communication, reading my Bible, and we go on and on, right? When I exclude Jesus from my life and I become dull of hearing, I just put other things in more important. Matthew 6:33 is one of the verses in that line of verses Johnny read. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth, 11th. First! There was a magic pill. And I think we get wrapped up in the pandemic and we'd say coronavirus and COVID and all that. But let me go cancer. Okay? Let me go cancer. It's been here a long time and it's not going away. Because there's no pandemic, vaccine for that. There was a magic pill. That somebody had cancer and it was stage 4 and it was in a devastating organ. You say, hey, I've got a pill though. You take it, you will be cured. If somebody had that, we'd at least tune in and listen to them, wouldn't we? What about for the essentialness of our soul? Are we going to tune in and listen to the one who can save our soul? Number 2 this morning, according to this passage in Hebrews 5, the dangers of excluding Jesus Christ. It comes down to a doctrine issue, doesn't it? Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. When we exclude Jesus, we are in danger of being tossed aside by any old doctrine out there. You know, was it Baskin Robbins that had the flavors? You get all these flavors. You know, I think now if you go to like a Zaxby's or somewhere like that, and you go up to that Coke thing, and you can push any flavor Coke you want. You know, I mean, if you like Coke, that's a dream, right? You just have any old way you want. That's how we are spiritually when we leave out Jesus. There's so many choices out there. This makes me feel good today, so guess what? I'm going to go with this. Hey, guess what? Social media, and by the way, the information world that we live in, you can go down a rabbit hole and not come out. I'm serious. And we got people that are doing that. And guess what? You know what it tells me about them? They have excluded Jesus Christ. They left him out. You see, the Bible's been twisted and turned to make people feel good wherever they are in life. I can twist it, I can turn it, I can take this out. And you know what, man? I can worship as a sinner that just continues in deliberate sin. You know why? Because we can take that out of the Bible. Because it was written a long time ago. That's what people are actually doing. You see, it'd be much easier for me, honestly. I believe we could have thousands in attendance if nothing we did all the time was just, hey, whatever you come as you are. I'm not going to preach on hell. I'm not going to preach on sin. We're going to accept all sin. We're going to do, if this offends you, we won't talk about it. I'll talk about, I don't know, self-help stuff. We could fill this place up and just be entertained all the time. But you know what we'd be doing? Excluding Jesus Christ. I'm all about grace. And I'm all about truth. The good news is Jesus Christ was too, because He said He was grace and truth. The Christians in Hebrews chapter 5 were not growing because they were leaving Jesus out. They needed to learn or relearn the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the Word of God through the mouths of the apostles. You see, we must be in the Word. We must be teachers of the Word. We can't be teachers of a book. We can't be teachers of a preacher. We can't be teachers of a pastor. We got to be teachers of the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He gave Himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man, to the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, though, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 to Timothy, minister, evangelist, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In order to preach the word, the doctrine, we've got to include Jesus Christ. Thirdly, you see what happens when we exclude Jesus? We become distracted. Verse 13, Hebrews 5, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now let's think about a baby. How quickly do they get distracted? Very quickly. You know, sometimes a child could be upset or whatever, and they could be mad and this and that, and you go in there and just real quick you get them excited. Why? Because you change their mind, you change their attitude, you change their focus. When we stay babies in Christ, we are so easily distracted. The devil wants nothing more than for us to be distracted today. How about Judas? Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "Why? What are you willing to give me if I deliver him, Jesus, for you?" Man, that's tough. That's tough to even hear somebody say that about him, right? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Think about Judas. He was handpicked by Jesus Christ. Handpicked now. Selected to be one of His inner circle. One of the 12. Jesus had to find something in him, right? He worked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. At the end of the day, you know what he wanted? Jesus out of his life. He wanted 30 pieces of silver more than Jesus Christ. So don't tell me there's not danger in leaving Jesus out. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He laid down probably in a bed next to Jesus at times, out in the wilderness next to Jesus. And at the end of the day, he went to them in Matthew 26 and said, let me
tell you, let me know what you're going to give me to get him out of my life.
You know what he's distracted by? Money. What are we distracted by? What will we leave Jesus out of our lives for? Gossip? Drama? Fun? Sunday fun day? Lies? Looks? Fill in the blank. When I leave Jesus out, I'm so easily distracted. Finally, this morning, talking about the dangers of excluding Jesus, I forget how to discern. Hebrew writer, Hebrews 5, verse 14, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The word discern literally means this: being able to distinguish, judge between good and evil. When we do not include Jesus, we can't decide what's good and what's evil anymore. Think about that. When I leave Jesus, Judas thought by him leaving Jesus out, this is a good thing. It seemed good, right? 30 pieces of silver, that's a pretty good chunk of change at one time. So guess what? I don't know if it's bad or not because it just feels good, so I'm going to do it. As ridiculous as that sounds, that happens in the church and with Christians quite often. Jesus is on the back burner. He's in the back of my mind. I've got so many things, man. I'm full force working. I'm doing all. I'm going to make mine. I'm going to do mine. I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to participate in every extracurricular activity I can because I want to fill it up with so many things and just blah, 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 blah. You going to worship today? You know what? I don't know. We got a ball game, so guess what? I can't decide what's good and what's evil anymore, so I'm going to just choose to not worship because it doesn't matter to me anymore. You know why? Because God said, when you're not eating meat and you leave Jesus on the back burner, you can't tell what's good and evil anymore. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said this, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." You see, that's a way a Christian discerns and handles confrontation. Not by going out and just doing whatever feels good. Blasting it out on social media. You see, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. But when I leave Jesus out of my life, I can't determine what's right and wrong anymore. Because I become my own Lord. Let me say this real plainly and as boldly as I can. If where you sit right now, whether it's at your home or whether it's right here, if He is not Lord of all in your life, He is not Lord at all. So you got to decide. It's real simple. Am I going to exalt Him? Or I'm going to exclude him. There is no in between. It's real hard to do. But if we're serious about our relationship with God, we've got to examine ourselves right now. Where are you? Where am I? Are we dull of hearing? Are we swayed by false doctrine? Are we distracted easily? Are we unable to discern both good and evil? If You don't like the answer to that question. The good news is we have a chance to get it right. I can't promise you we will tomorrow, but we do right now. And so I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Don't exclude Him. Exalt Him. Don't bring Him down. Elevate Him. If you need to become a Christian, or you need to get things right publicly, won't you do it right now together? We stand and sing.